In the late 1970s, for instance, businesses began to realize that the phone was a really cheap and efficient way of reaching potential customers. And since then, the number of telemarketing calls to target households has increased tenfold. This sounds like a very good example of what Kelly is talking about, the extraordinary economic potential of a communications network that we all belong to. Except that in certain key respects, the explosion in phone use doesn't sound like the law of plentitude at all. The fact that everyone has a phone makes the phone network very powerful, in theory. But the truth is that over the past 25 years or so, the effectiveness of telemarketing has dropped by about 50%. Certain low-ticket items, things that cost in the range of $25 to $30, such as magazine subscriptions, are simply no longer economical to market over the phone. Belonging to a large network may be a wonderful thing, and the larger networks are, theoretically, the more powerful they are. As a network grows in size, however, it is also the case that the time and nuisance costs borne by each member of the network grow as well. That's why people don't talk to telemarketers anymore, and why most of us have answering machines and caller ID that lets us screen calls. The phone network is so large and unwieldy that we are increasingly only interested in using it selectively. We are getting immune to the telephone. Is email any different? I remember when I first got email back in the mid-1990s. I would rush home with great anticipation and dial in on my 4800 baud modem, and I would have four messages from four very good friends. And what would I do? I would immediately compose long, elegant responses. Now, of course, I get up in the morning and go to my computer, and I have 64 messages. And the anticipation I once felt has been replaced by dread. I receive unwanted spam email and forwarded stories and jokes that I have no interest in, and people I don't particularly care about email me to ask me to do things I don't want to do. So how do I respond? I compose very, very short emails, seldom more than two lines long, and I often take 2 or 3 days to get back to people, and lots of email I don't answer at all. I suspect the same thing is happening with other email users around the world. The more email we get, the shorter and more selective and more delayed our responses become. These are the symptoms of immunity. What makes email so susceptible to immunity is the very thing that initially made it seem so attractive to people like Kevin Kelly, how easy and inexpensive it was to reach people. In one recent study, for instance, psychologists found that groups who communicate electronically deal with dissenting opinions very differently than groups who meet face-to-face. People holding dissenting opinions expressed their arguments most frequently and persistently when they communicated online, the researchers concluded. At the same time, minorities received the highest level of positive attention and had the greatest influence on the private opinions of members in the majority and on the final group decision when they communicated face-to-face. The fact that expressing a dissenting view in person is much harder socially, in other words, gives that opinion much more credence in the group's deliberations. It's the same way in other kinds of communications. The fact that anyone can email us for free, if they have our address, means that people frequently and persistently email us. But that quickly creates immunity and simply makes us value face-to-face communications and the communications of those we already know and trust all the more. I think that the facts effect error is being repeated by marketers and communicators over and over again. Advertising agencies often decide which magazines and television shows they want to place their ads in on the basis of cost. They buy whatever time is the cheapest as a means of reaching the widest possible audience. But what about immunity? The agency's logic has resulted in so many companies buying ads on television that it now runs more hours of commercial time than ever before. Therefore, it's hard to believe that people are really watching commercials as closely as they did before. The same is true for a magazine with hundreds of advertisements or a roadside with billboards every 100 feet. When people are overwhelmed with information and develop immunity to traditional forms of communication, they turn instead for advice and information to the people in their lives whom they respect, admire, and trust. The cure for immunity is finding mavens, connectors, and salesmen.